Herstorians. I'm your host, Heather Ashley, and welcome to another episode of Women of Herstory, a podcast dedicated to celebrating women who have made or are making their mark on our society. Today, I have with me sports broadcaster and podcaster, Keisha Swafford. Thank you so much for joining us today, Keisha.
Hey, I'm super excited to be on the show. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course, of course. So let's jump right in. How did you get into sports broadcasting?
Well, all started in high school. I played basketball, and my dad really inspired me to get into basketball through junior high, through high school. And I really loved playing basketball, even though I was bullied through school and by my basketball teammates. But it's all good. It's all good. That was 10 years ago. It's in the past.
Good.
But I really wanted to, I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be an author, a best-selling author. That was my dream. I've been writing since I was a kid. I really wanted to write a great story, fantasy, fiction, novels, but I didn't really believe in myself. You know, in high school, because I was bullied so much, I had low self-esteem. Mm. And I didn't have enough confidence to say, oh, I'm going to write this best-selling book. Mm. So I decided, hey, I need a plan B. So I was like, well, my senior year, I got into publications and I really enjoyed it. I love interviewing people. I love talking to people about sports. So I decided to say, hey, sports journalism sounds fun. It combines my love for sports and my love for writing. Mm. So that's how I got into sports broadcasting. Eventually I got in college, I was doing sports stuff there. Not as much as I wanted to, because there wasn't a lot of sports as far as basketball and stuff that I was really interested in. They only had softball and baseball at LSUA. So I really kind of was limited. Mm-hmm. So all I could do was just do new stuff. Finally, I got into college. Out of college, I graduated and I got into the Town Talk, which is a local newspaper here. Mm. And I got into sports writing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I didn't know anything about football. So I was like, I had to research.
You had a crash course in it.
That was my first assignment. Like, you need to go to a high school football game. I was like, really? I don't even know anything about football. So all I knew was like, there was a touchdown. I didn't know how many points. I was like, whoa.
Like, they smash into each other.
Right. That's all I know. Like, I didn't understand the point. But I really just fell in love with football. I fell in love with the idea of, the adrenaline rush, the competition. It reminded me of basketball. It's like, this is basically basketball, but you just get hit a lot. You get hit a lot. but I loved it. And, so I did really well in the, sports articles and everything. And then eventually, I did do a little bit of, interning in college, a couple semesters, but wasn't all sports. The really main, person that really encouraged me to just pursue sports altogether was, she's my mentor. Lindsay Levingston, she really said, okay, I like your sports, like your news is okay. She was looking at my reel. She's like, you don't look very comfortable doing news, dude. And I was like, no, I'm not really comfortable. Like, I really realized that by myself. And I was like, I was doing like sports stuff, like all on the side, I put it on my YouTube channel. And she was like, you look really comfortable doing this. You were, because I was interviewing a training coach, he does training. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, you need to do sports. Mm-hmm. Just stick with sports. Just stop whatever you're doing right now and stick with sports. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So that really turned, I was like, not too long ago, like, I don't know, in November or like of last year, not too long, like in the fall. And because I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be a news journalist. And sports is just my wheelhouse. And so I went straight into it, and I've been doing it ever since. The sports podcast I'm doing called Balling with Keisha really helped me to be more comfortable, you know, get with people that love sports like me and are passionate about it. And I'm learning from them. MTMV Sports is my network, is the network that I'm in. And I'm super blessed and just grateful for them. Rick Sincere, he's the one that really got me into MTMV Sports. And he saw my stuff on Twitter, and he was impressed by it. He just asked me, he was like, do you want to be part of our network? And I was like, who are you? Like, I don't know you.
Yeah, you're like, what's happening? What?
Right. I was like, you know, I'm very open to people. Like, I love connecting with people. So I was like, I'll give it a try. And he exceeded my expectations, basically. Like the people really, you know, welcomed me, just very kind. They're mostly guys, you know, and there was one girl in there, Benora, that we were like, I was like, oh, I was so impressed by her. Like when I first, you know, met her and, you know, just really listened, because I was just listening in and, you know, because I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And, you know, they were talking about Kansas City Chiefs. I was like, hey, I'll get into it, you know. And it was after the Super Bowl, and that was a whole mess there. God, I was like, what happened with Chiefs? Anyway, So then there's a guy, Will Smith, that's really like a big fan of the Chiefs. So we bonded over that. And I just love being part of the sports broadcasting. The camaraderie, you know, the just being able to bond over sports is something that's very unique in the sports industry. So I think that I love it.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into sports broadcasting.
Well, it's so funny. I feel like going back to the woman, your mentor, who said that, saying you didn't look comfortable in the news broadcasting. I wonder if it was more of a, in comparison to how confident and like how much your eyes lit up when you're talking about sports compared to when you were talking about the news broadcasting, you know, you can tell when somebody loves what they're talking about, who they're talking to. You can tell when they are so excited and invested in what they're doing. And it's always so amazing when someone outside recognizes things that you might not even recognize in yourself, where they're like, hey, clearly you have something going with the way that you deliver the sporting news. Like, clearly there's something there that just like, you can just feel the passion when someone is excited about it. And then for it to, you know, like steamroll into, you know, you having a podcast where you get to talk about the same thing, because people don't even need to look at you to hear how excited you are about it. They can just hear it in your voice. Like, people want to listen to people who care about the things that they care about. And I love that. That's so awesome. That's so cool.
I'm so happy about that. Yeah. I'm so grateful, because everyone needs a mentor. Everyone needs a mentor that's going to tell you, you know, what is going to help you be a better person, a better professional. So I'm really grateful for her.
Absolutely. And someone who can objectively look at what you're doing and be like, you could go that way and you might be happy and you might be fine, or you could go this very specific direction and love what you're doing and be really good and have a real perspective. Maybe that's something about it too, is that, you know, when you're approaching things like that, you have a real perspective in the way that you deliver the information. You know, it's like, you can tell when somebody's bored on TV, where you're like, hate this. You hate what you're doing. Why are you doing this? Like you hate being there. Leave.
Right.
Yeah. So what is your dream broadcasting job?
Oh, I would love to be on ESPN, of course. I think that's every sports broadcaster's dream.
Mm-hmm.
But just to really being at a new station that accepts me, that, you know, wants to help me improve, challenges me, and, you know, just really supports me. And, you know, I need, you know, especially as a new broadcaster, sports person coming in, you know, I want to make sure that appreciate it. And, you know, I have people that are going to help me be better. And so that's really my dream, is to really get to a new station where I'm welcomed and nurtured, but also pushed to my best level. So I think that's my first dream. And then I can get to ESPN later.
What is it about high school and college games that you enjoy in particular?
Particularly in high school, they're so young and just so excited and passionate about what they're doing. They're not jaded. And, you know, they're just starting. You know, they're not in college yet. And there's so many possibilities and so many ways they could, you know, improve and change their game. And it's really cool to watch them grow. And, you know, I recently had an interview with Sky Montgomery. She's a Bolton. She's from my high school. I graduated from Bolton High School, and she has a beautiful story, you know, and she's gone through so much. You never know what these high school people are going through, you know, and have to overcome. Her brother recently died, and it was, you know, it's just a month ago, fresh. And, you know, she had to play basketball and, you know, just keep strong. And she's such a beautiful person, such a bright person. And I never would have thought, you know, I never knew what was going on.
Yeah.
You never know. Like, there's so many things that are happening in high school. Your hormones are changing, you know, things are going crazy. And to add that to, you know, just playing sports, and playing sports can be stressful at times and intense. And especially, you know, they're playing at a high level, they're in district play.
There's a lot of pressure on them.
Right. There's a lot of pressure. And she's only 15. And, you know, her brother was 15. So, you know, it was they're very close. And, you know, I just did an interview with her, and I just felt so, so sad about it, you know, because when I was 16, you know, I was very emotional. And so I could not imagine losing my sibling at that time. And I have a younger sister. I just feel like, you know, they're so strong, high school players, and they just have so much energy. And so they're so vibrant. And I really love seeing that, especially it just comes out more. They play what they love. And particularly for college, you know, they're just like, they're at the peak of their game. Like, you know, they're just so like, oh man, they're adamant, you know, about winning, and just their drive, their passion is so, so inspiring. And I love watching it, because, and it's like, you know, you're almost watching an NBA game or something, you know, like you're watching it before they become like really big stars or something. So like, you get a little peek, like a behind the scenes, you know, look into what they do and who they could become. And so it's just like a level, like high school is a level and then college is a level. And so it's like really cool to watch, and it's so much fun. And I just love, you know, just doing high school and college sports.
Who's your favorite college team?
Well, of course, it's LSUA. Oh, that's you know.
You're like, what kind of question is that?
I do like LSU as well. And I really like Alabama.
Okay.
They're just such a great team, very competitive. They're loyal to their team. They don't leave that long. They don't leave. And, you know, I just think that, yeah, they're a really good football team. So I love it. I enjoy playing, watching them play. So, yeah.
Just everybody in the South is everyone's rival, really. Georgia Tech, Georgia, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Florida. It doesn't matter. They're all just too close together. And there's just too, it's so much. And they all have such high caliber teams that you're just like, the energy is so much. Even with teams that don't like have particularly successful seasons every year, like Auburn, I feel like is really hit or miss, but they like, there's just still so much, like you're saying, there's so much
passion behind it and competition, and they're just like ready to go.
Right.
Yeah.
I will destroy you.
Exactly. For no other reason than you're from
right. Just because you're my rival. Yeah. I will destroy you.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I love it though. I love it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
Yes.
So you're working on your first novel, Starglow. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. I've been working on it since I was 16.
Mm.
Believe it or not. On and off. Mm-hmm. I was an emotional kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to write a character that showed emotions, but showed that emotions can be powerful.
Mm.
And, you know, I feel like in the character's name is Zach. I like Zac Efron. And from High School Musical.
Hey.
When I was 16, that was the heyday of High School Musical.
he's still a star. It's still valid. Yeah.
So I really admired him, and really solidified me as a Zac Efron fan. Was 17 again. Mm. I think that he was so funny and like just a natural. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because it, you know, High School Musical, sometimes, you know, Disney Channel stars, they just fade away after Disney Channel, but he kept on going. So I named my character after Zac Efron, and like I always liked his eyes. So every time. You know, my character Zach has a different emotion. Mm. You know, his eyes change colors and he has a different superpower. So that is like a little, you know, that's how that's how he activates his powers, is through his emotions. And so I think that, you know, that gave me some confidence in myself as a, you know, it just, you know, it's me inside of a character.
Uh-huh.
But in a male form, because I wanted to know that, you know, as a Black person, mm-hmm. You know, being emotional for Black men is something that's frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that, you know, people don't really think that guys should be emotional. You know, they shouldn't show emotion. They should be strong mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's true.
Mm-mm.
You know, you don't have to be soft and weak, but, you know, everyone has emotions.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why I wanted to have a Black male character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just, you know, have emotions are powerful and you shouldn't be ashamed of it. So that's what I really want the message for the whole book to be about. And Starglow, at first it was called Emotional Eyes, and I changed it because I got some feedback from one of my friends in college. I said, I don't think this should be the title. So I was like, my heart was hurt.
Like,
you know how long I've been working on this and that's the title? What? So I was like, okay, let me think about it, because I'm open to criticism.
Yeah,
you have to be open to criticism as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can make your story better.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, let me think. And so I was like, Starglow. Okay, his eyes glow like stars. So Starglow, I put it together. Like, I was thinking of like Marvel. You know, I wanted something that's like,
mm-hmm.
something that's, you know, that can be memorable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it still relates to the book.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's how I came up with it.
I love it. Starglow. I think that's a great title. It kind of draws you in a way that you're like, what is this? But also you kind of have like a little bit of an inkling, like, you know, it's going to be something supernatural. Like, it's not something that you're going in expecting, like a book about tables, you know, like, pretty much off the bat. Okay. I don't know why I just thought about tables. That was such a weird example. I've never read a book about tables. Who's written a book about tables?
That is funny.
It's word salad sometimes, you know, but yeah, I feel like that's such a great title. And I love how you've mentioned the taboo of Black men having emotions. Like, that's just, it's so interesting. I feel like as children, even, you know, it's looked at, it's such a weird reflection of society, right? Where women, because we are told that we can have emotions, but when that, then we are weaker because we show the emotion. So then instead of dealing with what is happening in your own mind and in your own just being existing as a human, and the way that we look at strength is ignoring, is pretending like you have nothing wrong with you and that nothing has ever been wrong with you. Why is that strength? That to me is cowardice, right?
Right.
Like pretending like something doesn't affect you is putting up a wall and then cementing yourself in a way that like, you've just blocked out everything. Like what's the point then? That's, it's such a strange flip, I feel like, of how we should be addressing emotions. And you are so open about your own personal mental health problems. And what are some ways that you've been able to manage them? Is writing one of those?
Of course. Yes. I started journaling like I was like when I started writing five maybe. I used to write poems about stars and planets. I remember just writing a book about, or a poem about Neptune and Pluto. That was when I was little. But I really enjoy journaling because it helps me to really just share my feelings, share what's going on during the day, just let out stuff that I'm holding in and I can't really express. And just writing helps me to express that. So I think journaling is very, very instrumental in my mental health. I do it every day. I've never stopped journaling. Mm-hmm. Even when I stopped writing on my book or writing poems, poetry is very instrumental to me as well, poetry, because I have a poetry site that I do, and I've written like over 500 poems.
Wow.
I used to be a moderator on it. It's called familyfriendpoems.com, and I really enjoyed that. So poetry, writing, I also paint. I love painting. I do acrylics. I started painting in college, doing oil paints, still life. That's all I could do in still life.
Oils are hard.
Oils
are so hard.
I loved it. That's what all I could do was oil.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it's like you gotta really mix the turpentine and the oil paint. That's what I think is the hardest part. But it lasts way longer. It's the longest medium to last. Acrylics and watercolors, they last for a while. They do last a long time, but oil paint, you don't even have to, put it in a, frame it, and it'll still last. They'll still be the same.
Right.
So I think, writing, I'm very artistic. So I think the arts has really helped me, with my mental health. And just singing. I love singing. I love worshiping the Lord, and I just love reading as well. Reading helps me a lot. I've always loved reading. It helps me escape, stuff that's going on in my life. I always went to reading and writing and praising God. So that's the main three things
I love
that helps me.
What's one of your favorite books? I know as a reader, I hate when people ask me what my favorite book is. And I'm like, I don't have a favorite. I can tell you one of my favorites. So what is one of your favorites right now?
Right now, Becoming Muhammad is something I've been reading for the past week or so. It's basically is his story before he became Muhammad Ali. He was Cassius Clay. It's a story about his life before he became Muhammad Ali, and his story, like when he was growing up and just becoming a fighter and just gaining that confidence. And he was always believed in himself, but sometimes he put on a show, because he was like, I'm going to be the greatest. He had to tell himself that, because sometimes you got to tell yourself that you're going to be the greatest, that you're going to be something that you want, but you have to really see that vision. He had a vision at 12 years old that he was going to be, the best. So that's very inspirational for me to read. and just the, you know, his journey. So I think that's one of my favorites right now.
I love that, you know, and that's so true. Sometimes it's almost on the same like plane as fake it till you make it. Like, just keep telling yourself. And obviously right. You have to like make concrete steps in the direction of what you want to do. Blah, blah, blah. But you know, it's that kind of thing where you're like, all right, well, I'm going to be so good that, I think that's actually a quote, Steve Martin, maybe it says, be so good that they can't ignore you. Like,
exactly
that. It's just telling yourself, this is what I'm going to do. And then once you have that clear goal, everything can lead up to that goal. And it doesn't, and you also have to be open to taking weird turns and going through potholes and then maybe falling off a cliff here and there on the way to get to that place.
Yes, you will fall off a cliff.
Yeah, at least three cliffs of varying heights. One might be pretty tall. You might have a little damage.
You might hurt yourself a little bit. You might get some bruises and some scrapes.
Yeah,
and you might be like, well, I don't know if I can get up. you gotta get up.
Yeah, got to get up, shake it off. What do they say? Throw some dirt in it. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Brush yourself off and try again like Aaliyah.
That is, oh my gosh. I forgot about that. Man, I haven't heard that song in a minute. Wow, that is
listen to it. She was trying to encourage you.
Yeah. She was like dropping those like motivational posters in song form. Like, exactly. Maybe that should be my new alarm.
Hey.
What do you hope that others can get from seeing you being candid and open about all of your issues and your journey to getting to where you are?
Well, I really want people to, know that, you know, I'm a real person, you know, and I have issues and, you know, I have things that, you know, go wrong in my life. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to really like, you know, express that to people. And so I try my best to really have like great mental capacity and mental health, you know, just to really say, you know what, I've been through this, you know, I've, you know, walked in your shoes. I know how it feels to be hurt. I know how it feels to be left alone and just not knowing what to do. And that's why I always go to God. He's my faith has always been my rock. But also, you know, I just want people to know that, you know, therapy is good for you. You know, I've been to therapy more than once. So, you know, it's always good to have, you know, reach out to people, you know, you can be friends with people. You don't have to isolate yourself. You know, people can hurt you. You know, I've been hurt a lot from people, but I don't close myself off to people. I've been there where I have, and it's not good for your health. It's not good for your mental, you know? So I really want people to know that, you know, just talk to someone. If you are feeling like you want to commit suicide, or, you know, you feel like you're not feeling well and you're sad most of the time, you need to talk to someone. And you can talk to anyone, you know, you don't have to talk to someone in your family. You can talk to someone. A therapist is unbiased, is biased. And, you know, they will not judge you. And, you know, they will listen. And, you know, I think there's, you know, apps there, you know, Get Help app is one that you can just talk to. It's anonymous, you know, it's confidential. No one's going to tell your business, you know, so. I think that me being open and candid about my journey and my experience, my story, will help people to, you know, tell their stories, be more open to really expressing themselves, and just being able to get that help that they need.
Absolutely. For so long, people were like, mental health isn't a thing, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it is a thing. It is absolutely a thing. If you're depressed, your whole body responds. Like literally, yes, it responds. it breaks down. It stops working. If you tell yourself that you don't want it to work anymore, it's going to listen to you because your body takes cues from your brain. It'll continue to do like its basic functions, but it's not going to do them as well. And then it's, you know, and then on top of that, it's just like any other organ in your body. If your heart hurts, like that still sounds emotional. If your stomach hurts, right, you're going to go to a doctor about it. So if your body is telling you, if you have cues in your brain that are telling you things that aren't true about yourself, you need to talk to somebody. It's that simple. I hate that there's such a stigma, but I think it's lifting.
Yeah, I think it's lifting too. And it's like, as a man thinks, so he is. Mm. So that's based on the Bible. But you know, it's like, if you think thoughts that are bad, your emotions are going to follow. Mm-hmm. Your body's going to follow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to be a spiraling downward spiral. So, you know, think good thoughts, think good things about yourself. You know, you are strong and powerful and just amazing. You know, you have to think about those good things, pure things, you know, just very noble, humbling things, you know, just to get you in that mindset, you know? And so I think that, you know, that's very important to do.
Yeah. On that, there was someone that we spoke to. Her name is Sue Thaden, and she's actually also a woman in the sports field. That's so funny. But she is I think might be the person with the sunniest disposition that I've ever met in my life. And I was like, how, like, literally tell me how. And she was like, well, I, every day in the morning before my feet hit the ground, I name 10 things that I'm grateful for. And then before I get into bed at night, I list 10 things I'm grateful for. And she was like, it becomes something where you can like phone in 3 things you're grateful for. But by the end of the day, if you're having to think of 20 things throughout the day that you were grateful for, like in total, you're going to start looking for things to be grateful for. And it can be simple things like the sky is clear today. And then once you start telling yourself that you're grateful for things like that, you train your brain to look for the good and not look for the bad. And I was like,
woo. Mind blown.
I was like, wow, you mean that I've trained myself to be a pessimist? What happened? Like, when did that happen? How? She was like, well,
you don't even realize it's happening.
Yeah. And then like 30 snarky comments later, I'm like, oh, there it is. That's my bad.
I love that. Cause gratitude is something so important. You know, I do Zoom calls for my business, and every time we do a call, we ask, what are you grateful for? Like, everyone goes around and say what they're grateful for. And that really sets the tone for the call, very positive tone for the call. So I think that, you know, that's the same way with your life. Put a positive tone on your life, like start it right, you know, so you can, you know, get through the day and be in an amazing mood because you made that choice to start the day right and be grateful. So I love it.
And then those tiny little things throughout the day that get on your nerves aren't going to affect you as much because they're just going to roll off your back. If you're like, well, I have a roof over my head and I have coffee at home. So, and I have a shower, I can stand in a warm shower and then drink some coffee after, and then I'm good. Like, it's so when you think about it that way, it totally changes your entire perspective.
It does.
Do you have a support system that you can turn to?
Oh, yes. Well, guys, my support system, but also just my family, my mom, my sister, just people that I turn to. My dogs are my support system. Two dogs.
I love dogs.
My church family. You know, there's people in my health and wellness business I do that are very supportive of me, And I reach out to people that are my friends. You know, I'm like, I learned in church today that we should have five types of friends or type of people in our lives. Mm-hmm. You want to know about them?
I do. I'd love to hear about them.
Yeah. Well, the first type is your cheerleader. You know, you need someone that's going to cheer on, going to encourage you. It's going, even when things are, you know, you feel like you're giving up on life, you know, they're going to be like, you better get your little butt up and get to going. You are powerful and strong. You know, that just gives you that, that push. And then the next person that should be in your life is a mentor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mentor is Lindsay Levingston, and, you know, someone that's going to, you know, push you at your potential, like, you know, get past your potential and just like tell you, you know, how to direct you in the right direction and, you know, get you on the right path. Mm. The third person would be a coach, someone that's going to like be so tough on you, like a basketball coach or a football coach, that it's going to be like, you need to go. Don't even think about what's going on, you know, bad that's going on. Just keep going, keep pushing, and just really encourage you and motivate you. And I think the fourth person is like a friend, of course, like someone that has a heart for you, that really wants something good for you to happen, you know, that is wants good things to happen for you. And, you know, that really is going to be there for you, even when, as my pastor says, all hell broke loose, you know, like if everything goes wrong in your life, you still have that friend that's going to be there for you. And I can't remember the fifth thing, type of friend, but I got four for you. So,
hey, that's good. You know, it's so true though. It's like, just like I recently saw an analogy that was like, if you treat yourself like a machine and expect yourself to just input one very specific thing and always churn out perfection, the exact same thing every time, it's not going to happen. Treat yourself like a garden. Certain days you're going to need different things. You know, like if you overwater your plants, they're going to die. If they spend too much time in the sun, they're going to die. If they spend too much time in the shade, they're going to die. And so you need to nurture yourself with different types of people and give yourself grace, because you're going to need different things every day, because you're not a machine, you're a garden, you know, and it's those different people in your life are going to provide the different nutrients to help you grow and succeed. And sometimes you need somebody who's going to stick you up in the sunlight and be like, absorb the sun, stop being stupid, just absorb it. Do it. And then someone else who's gonna like gently, like they do say you're supposed to sing to plants. So someone who's just gonna be the soothing person who is always wanting the best for you, just singing to your little leaves, you know, like it's that kind of thing where you need different things for different situations. And if you surround yourself with the same types of people, you're not gonna grow. You're not going to succeed. You're just going to break down because you're stagnant. Nothing's happening in your life. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I love that analogy. That
right? I saw
yes,
today.
We are house plants.
We are. We are a garden. I am rosemary. That's what I've decided. Rosemary's my favorite.
I'm a tulip. I like tulips. I'm a daisy, like Katy Perry. I love that song, Daisies. That's my favorite song right now.
Oh, yeah. You do seem like a daisy, though. I see that. I see that.
I like daisies.
Just nice and smiley, kind of like a little miniature sunshine in a little flower form. It makes sense. It makes sense.
I love it.
You're a woman of many hats. Outside of sports broadcasting and your arts, what are some things that you like to get into? You mentioned a health business that you're part of. Or do you have any other random, I don't know, rock climbing, bungee jumping? What do you like to do?
Oh, wow. I've never done rock climbing, but I've always I want to do those plastic rock climbing first to make sure I could do it first.
Yeah, no, fair.
I do like to go out and play basketball, of course. You know, I love running, just getting my body moving. I think that's a really important thing to do. Not just stay in the house all the time, you know, get outside. And I love playing with my dogs, you know, just being around people, that positive people. And just, I love doing outdoor things. You know, I wouldn't mind having a garden, you know, I hope I don't kill the plants, but I have to be really patient. And I'm learning to cook more. I think that's something that if you start cooking like healthier stuff and thinking about what you're putting into your body, that is so important. You know, you gotta, you know, fuel your body with the right things so you can actually be able to do the things you want to do in life. I think that's about it for me right now.
No, that's about it. That's like 15 million things.
Yeah.
Like just short of, I don't know, like building cars. Like that's like the next step of things. Maybe building tables. Maybe you'll write a table book next.
I might. Just because you want me to, I will probably do it. Thinking about flying tables when you said that. I was like, I can put that in a book.
You're like, maybe like a resin top and it's got like gold leaf on it. You're like, what is this table idea? What's happening?
My imagination goes all the way, just everywhere.
I love that. That's such a good tool to have. That's something that I feel like, so I'm also a creative, and it's always so, I always think I'm so lucky that I was brought up in a house that encouraged that side and said, find the things that make you happy, find the things that make you feel good. It doesn't have to be a profession. It can just be a hobby, or it can be a profession. Just like do the things and enjoy fostering your mind with every possible hobby, endeavor, whatever, doesn't matter, from knitting to painting to playing music, like whatever. It's always so, yes. I feel like it's so fortunate when you do run into, you know, like mental health problems or even just not even problems, just daily life, to have just this little outlet that helps you express yourself very directly in a very specific way that day, you know, where you're just like, today I'm going to paint. Tomorrow right. I might sing. Maybe I'm going to paint and sing. I don't know.
Yeah. Listening to music is a great outlet too. Like I love dancing and singing. Like I don't dance in front of people, but I do like to dance.
Hey, dancing. There's a Martha Graham quote. She says that like dancing is the language of the soul, because your body just literally does what it wants to do. If you don't control your movement and just let yourself go, oh my gosh, it's
freeing.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. Oh man. Dancing's great. I love to dance. Well, before we get to our last two questions, is there anything else that you would like to add, where we can find you on social media, your YouTube channel that you mentioned, or anything else we didn't touch on?
Well, I just really am so grateful to you that you let me be on your show. I had so much fun. Aww. And yes, I did. Thank you. I hope I can get back on here and, you know, just talk to you and talk to the people. You can get on my show, Ballin' with Keisha. It's on Apple Podcasts and it's on Spotify and, you know, MTMV Sports. Support them. They are such a credible team. And, you know, I want to showcase them as well. And also, my Ballin' with Keisha on YouTube, Ballin' with Keisha on Instagram, and, you know, Keisha Swafford on Facebook. So, and Twitter, Keisha Writer 24, Writer is WRITER underscore 24.
Okay.
And
awesome.
That's all socials.
I love it. I love it. You'll hear the stream of ours later. It's always funny when you're like trying to run through, you're like, did I get them all? Which right. one is a little bit different? Did I say them all right? Like
exactly.
Well, I ask the same last two questions to everyone that comes through the podcast. First, What is your second favorite color and why?
My second favorite color is pink because I was always a tomboy in high school and just growing up, and I hated pink. Mm. And so when I finally decided to be more feminine, just more womanly, mm-hmm. I decided to wear more pink, and it makes me feel like more of a woman for some mm-hmm. reason. Like, oh, yeah. Pink is so pretty on me.
Like, so, like hot pink or like pastel?
I like pastel, like flowery,
the like nature pink.
It's a little too much for me.
Yeah. Hot pink is a lot.
Yeah. You gotta be like really confident in that.
Yep.
Like, I got this hot pink shirt on and I'm ready to go. But yeah, I'm good with the pastels for now. Maybe one day I'll get hot pink later.
And last, what in your opinion is the best part of being a woman?
Best part about being a woman is our strength, our courage. You know, we are so strong, and we have to endure a lot. Mm. And people think we're weak, and that's far from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that people try to underestimate us, you know, as women. And I love just proving people wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, you think I'm weak? Okay, think again. Especially in basketball, when guys try to challenge me, be like, oh, you can't play. Okay, we'll see that. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you're like, okay. How so much do you want to bet? Like,
right.
What are we betting on this little game here?
Like, exactly. I'd love to have you eat your words.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat today. I am so excited to see where you go with your career. I know we're going to see such great things coming from you. You have such a natural and ease about you, and you clearly, whenever you're talking about sports and whenever you're talking about really anything, so far, at least in this, all the things that you like doing, it's so, you just see it in your eyes. You light up, and it's just such great work from you in general. And I can't wait to see what comes from you.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. Well, I mean every word of it, I promise.
Yes, I can tell. You're such a genuine person. I really love your podcast, like just celebrating women, celebrating who they are, and just being authentic. And so I think that I love that message that you're sending with your podcast. So thank you so much for just putting us on a platform, a positive platform. So thank you.
And thank you, Herstorians, for coming back each week and tuning in. Subscribe, follow, and share with your friends so that we can keep sharing amazing stories just like this one. Follow us on our numerous social medias that are all slightly different. TikTok at the Her... I'm already lying. TikTok at Her Story Podcast. Facebook at Women of Herstory. Instagram at Women of Herstory Podcast, Twitter at The Herstory Pod, and you can visit our website at ofherstory.com. Until next week, be safe, stay healthy, and show the world what you're made of.